This is Speaking of Faith First Person. This online exclusive is part of Repossessing Virtue, an ongoing series in which we search for fresh ways to think and talk about the current economic crisis. I'm Kate Moos, managing producer of Speaking of Faith. Here I speak with David Hilfiker. He is an activist for the poor in Washington, D.C. In what ways do you consider this a moral crisis or a spiritual crisis of your own or of the culture we live in?
Well, it's not particularly a crisis for ourselves. We've not had any investments in the places that are falling apart, and the investments we've invested ourselves in community investing, which are places that are trying to build up the community, and those aren't having financial trouble. For the wider community, though, it seems to me it's an enormous spiritual crisis because, our God has become a consumerism over the last 25, 30 years. And as the economy falls apart, it really means a loss of that God that is the thing that kind of holds us together.
Mm-hmm. And where do we go from here? I mean, obviously, many people are experiencing a deep sense of loss,
yeah.
And a loss of God, if you will, in the sense that we have put so much of our energy and our the fruit of our labors into the next thing. What do we do?
Well, I'm not sure what all of us do. What I'm trying to do here is to strengthen the small community, the small faith community that I'm part of, in hopes that we can begin some kind of economic sharing for those people who will be having difficulties over the next years. That, you know, in many ways, this kind of seems like an opportunity to get back to the basic values of caring for one another, of love for one another, of caring for the poor, trying to liberate the poor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the part of my own history is coming to Washington and seeing the way that society had abandoned the poor. That was about 20 years ago. I was sort of beginning to do that work, and I kept comparing it to the Old Testament judgments on society that don't care for their poor, and kind of wondering when it was going to, finally catch up with us. So, part of what we need to do is to back up and start caring for one another,
mm-hmm.
both kind of in formal ways in terms of government programs and all the things that need to be done that way, but also in informal ways, trying to develop communities where people whose economic resources remain can help those folks who are having more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, I wonder if you would just give us the short story of your decision to move to D.C. and some of the work you've done there.
It was part of a search for God, actually. Mari and I had, I just burned out in my work in rural Minnesota as a physician, and my wife and I were at that time trying to deepen our own spiritual lives, and one of the things that we had heard was that God reveals God's self best to people when they're involved in works of mercy and justice. It works where we're in direct contact with poor people. And there was a small faith community here in Washington that was doing work like that. They invited us to come, and we came. It was
Church of the Savior.
Church of the Savior, yeah. It was the there are a lot of different reasons that went into it, of course, but one of the primary ones was that we wanted to be a part of a community, and we wanted to be a part of a community that was working to liberate poor people.
Mm-hmm. And you lived in community with poor people for some time.
Yeah, a couple years after we got here, a group of us physicians started a place called Christ House, which was a medical recovery shelter for homeless men. And three physicians in our families and a couple social workers lived in the building. And then in 1990, we started Joseph's House, our home for homeless men with AIDS, and our family moved in there also, and mm-hmm. we lived there for 3 years. So we've, you know, lived with people for about, 8 years while we've been here.
Is there something now that you are doing differently, thinking differently? You alluded a little bit to focusing on the worship, the faith community that you're involved in now, and even looking at sharing personal resources.
Yeah.
What does that look like, and what is this circumstance calling you to do?
Well, it's not changed that much because of this circumstance. Marion, myself personally, received an inheritance a number of years ago, and we've been trying to give that away to people that who are in need of it, people mm-hmm. who are that we're in close relationship with. What we're trying to do in our community now is to increase the number of people that we reach out to with a so-called compassion fund. We've always had something where people could come and ask if they needed more money, but we're now trying to increase the size of that and encourage people within our faith community to avail themselves of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm realizing as I speak to you that, you know, some of our questions are phrased to suggest that this is a new focus for many people, focus on the economy, on poverty, on structural poverty in our world. And for you, that's not a new focus.
No, it's not. And, you know, I guess in some ways that's the opportunity of it now is that we, at many times in our history as a country, you know, we've recognized that we need to put a focus on caring for the poor. We really lost that approximately, you know, 30 years ago, and with this sort of emphasis on individual achievement and things. And the reality is there are always going to be people who don't do as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for society to structure itself so that those people are not destitute. And we've refused to do that. And so it's this is a real opportunity to return to the roots of a value system that says that all of us sharing in the productivity of the country is important.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific texts or writings or people that you have turned to over the years and turned to now for wisdom and leadership or solace?
Well, Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament scholar who has, because he lives in the Old Testament, has talked a lot about divine judgment, about the prophets. And so just recently, a number of us have been looking at the prophets and trying to determine, you know, what is the nature of God's judgment, and how are those times where judgment kind of becomes obvious? How are those times of opportunity? What do they show us about what we've done wrong? What do they show us about how we can move into the future? So certainly Brueggemann is one of the people that we've been looking at. More recently, a group of us has just been sort of trying to read about basic economics, about basic capitalism, and trying to understand. There hasn't been a particular person that we've looked to in that way, but just trying to learn more about our economic system.
Okay. Any final words for our audience that seem important to you, or suggestions, or a piece of hope for them?
Well, I just remember back 50 years ago when I was growing up, and, you know, the standard of living in this country was approximately half of what it is now. And it seemed to me we did just fine. We were a minister's family, and it didn't have a lot of money, but it was enough. And so certainly it seems to me that this is an opportunity for us to move away from thinking that our happiness depends on our standard of living, and to do that requires that we move deeper into community with one another.
There are a lot of families here in Minnesota back then. 6-10 kids grew up in a house with one bathroom.
Yeah.
And we did okay.
Yep. And, you know, it's not to say that there aren't differences now, but it seems to me that if we decided as a country that that was where our values lay, then we could take care of everybody, and everybody would have, you know, there wouldn't be destitution.
Mm-hmm. David Hilfiker, thanks so much for taking the time to talk today.
Sure, thank you.
You've been listening to David Hilfiker. He is a founder of Joseph's House, a ministry for people with HIV in Washington, D.C., associated with Church of the Savior. This is Repossessing Virtue, Speaking of Faith's continuing exploration of the economic crisis. For more, subscribe to the SOF podcast and visit speakingoffaith.org.